Hi, I'm the bit before the theme music, and I got here a bit late last week, so I've got here extra early this week. So I'm a bit too early. So I'm just going to sit here for a bit and wait. It's like waiting for Christmas, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, here comes the theme music. I can see it. It's just coming. It's nearly here. It's nearly here. Come on. Because the people are waiting. Come on, can you get... Run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder Carbine Action 2 on the Sharp Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode... I don't know! Stop asking... This isn't the quiz. Don't ask me difficult questions. Save it for the quiz, all right? Welcome to the show. I don't know what episode it is. I don't even care. Can you hear this rain? If you can hear the rain, it's really coming down outside. But I've tried to use the noise removal feature on the editing software, so hopefully you can't hear the rain. But if you can hear the rain, listen to that rain. Goodness me. Oh, right, we haven't done the interactive bit. Are you ready for the interactive bit? You are ready? Good. That was the interactive bit. Thanks for interacting. I don't think I've got anything major I need to talk about. So I'll just start off with... Do you know, I haven't got a jingle for it. So I'll just start off with this. It's just me carrying on talking. Maybe this should have been part of the intro. It's not. It's a separate bit. But I haven't got a jingle. It's a Christmas memory from the lovely Jennifer Kay, who is the mum of our podcast mascot, Little Elmer. And she's put... I'm listening to the quiz part of the episode and Santa's Grotto had me cracking up. If you remember the quiz from last week, one of the questions was, what is Santa's Grotto rhyming slang for? Cockney rhyming slang. And the answer was blotto, as in drunk. So that made her laugh. And she's put, it brought up a Christmas memory from my childhood. When my sister and I still believed in Santa, my mum and dad put out beer and cookies for Santa. Beer? In the States? I think in the UK, we give him sometimes whiskey. I think my parents used to give him sherry. Anyway, and this worried us, because if Santa's drunk, how's he going to deliver presents? I remember thinking, we might actually see Santa tonight. Well, we woke up with the usual ruckus and saw the empty beer bottles. Yes, multiple. Can you believe that? That's good, isn't it? If you're Santa, and you'll get, it's not just one bottle of beer. It's like, I can get proper toasted on this lot, can't I? Nice one. Sorry, where was I? We woke up to the usual ruckus and saw the empty beer bottles, yes, multiple, and empty cookie plate. Once we saw the hall that Santa had left, we weren't too worried about drunk Santa. That's a good point, isn't it? Like, as long as he's delivered your presents, who cares how drunk he is when he gets to the next house? That's not my concern. My concern is, did I get the train set I wanted for Christmas? Did I? No, I was never into train sets. But I'll tell you what I did want. Big Track. Do you remember Big Track? I had a Big Track. It was brilliant. I think I might still have it, actually. I was going to flog it on eBay, but they weren't going for that much. Well, did I already sell it on eBay? Something happened. Big Track. Right. Anyway, thank you for that one, Jenny Kay. Much appreciated. Please give my love to Little Elmer. Now is time for this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
So drinking after work, it's fine. But if you really want to enjoy it, I drink before. Now there is a book called Lost Christmas by David Logan. It takes place in Manchester, England, one snowy December. It doesn't start out very festive. A young boy, nicknamed Goose, wants his family to be together on Christmas Eve. But then his dad, who's a fireman, is called out on duty. A series of events leads to a tragedy where Goose is left orphaned. A year later, he's now living with his nan. She has dementia, and he is involved in petty theft. And then his dog, Mutt, goes missing. The story features a number of different people in pain, all who have experienced loss, and who are somehow mysteriously connected. It's a good holiday story that is beautifully wrapped up just in time for Christmas. I actually own two copies of it. I bought the first book off Amazon and then received the second one as a gift. And there's an odd thing with these two versions. The first was printed in the UK, and the second in New York. The "Do You Hear What I Hear" moment is on page 154. In the UK edition, Goose says, "I'm not sure I'd be mucking around." But in the US print, it reads, "I'm not sure I'd be messing around." They used "messing around" so we Americans will understand, because mucking around, it's not a familiar term for us. But the Brits, they have several creative uses for it in their daily conversation. The noun "muck" was first used by the English in the mid-1300s. It meant cow dung, spread as fertilizer. So the verb "mucking" initially meant to dig in the ground or to move manure. When it made its way through Scandinavia, "muck" came to mean soft, which then became the word "meek," also meaning gentle, courteous, and benevolent. So it is so interesting that the word meant both cow dung and those who would inherit the earth. But I digress. After this word sprang out of the soil, it came to mean something that makes another thing dirty, like to do a dirty job, such as shoveling muck. So, in a figurative sense, it did mean to make a mess of, or mess around. And later, it continued to evolve for the English to mean wasting time, treating someone badly, or making something worse than it was. In "muck," it has been used and is still used as a euphemism for a word that we don't like to use in polite company because of its similar sound. All of this makes complete sense from its origin, but still the publishers thought that we Americans couldn't understand these two simple words. And that just seems kinda mucked up. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Every time, Bob just does a fantastic job. Thank you so much for that, Bob. Do you know what the one thing I've taken away from that, right? Aside from learning about the history of the word "muck," Bob's got two copies of a book and he spotted one word difference between them. How he managed that, I have no idea. There is no way I would have spotted that. So that is incredible. Well done, Bob. And thanks for a fantastic segment. Bob will be back again later on. But right now, it's time for this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a
humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Do you know, it seems like I've done a few this year of this kind of a Christmas carol. This is another one of those that's like a TV show and they've got like one episode where they've done like a twist on a Christmas carol. And this episode, I am looking at Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World.
Now, I don't know if you watched Boy Meets World. I watched it when it first came out in the UK. It's in 1993, and it ran till 2000, and it was Ben Savage, who is Fred Savage's younger brother. I always thought it was like a poor man's version of the Wonder Years, because it's a little bit like the Wonder Years, you know, it's like a young boy coming of age type thing, but it was like studio based, whereas the Wonder Years seemed to be filmed on location. The Wonder Years was so good, so good. Boy Meets World was alright, I suppose. It was like a Disney Channel thing. And it has the distinction of being the longest lasting syndicated programme from Disney, from the Disney Channel. So you've got to be impressed with that. Or have you? I don't know. like I say, ran from 93 to 2000. There was 158 episodes, and it was 7 seasons. So, right. This one I'm talking about is called A Very Topanga Christmas. Topanga is Corey. Corey's the main boy in it. Corey Matthews is his girlfriend. And it aired on the 19th of December 1997. Now, I'm going to run through it for you. And, well, that's pretty much it. I'm going to run through it. Are you ready? Let's go. So, it starts off, you've got Corey's dad, Alan his name is. I've never met him personally, but I know his name. And his brother, Eric, they're putting up this aluminium Christmas tree. And, oh, do you know, there's a couple of jokes, but I can't even be bothered. Can I? We established that it's the day before Christmas Eve. So Corey comes out and he's like, look, Dad, Eric, you know we've got Topanga coming to stay for Christmas this year. Could you sort of behave yourself? And he says to Eric, could you not run down the hallway naked singing We Wish You a Merry Christmas? And Eric says this,
I only do it because people have come to expect it.
Which is, I don't know, I suppose it's funny. And then Corey shows Eric that he's bought a promise ring for Topanga, which is nice. Anyway, then Topanga turns up with Corey's mum, she's picked her up, and we find out that Topanga's parents have gone on a cruise, and so that's why she's staying with them. And Dad comes out with eggnog, so we all drink eggnog, and Topanga wants cider, mulled cider, which is interesting actually. Bob, you might want to look into that, the way us English refer to cider and the way you guys refer to cider. Stick that on, do you hear what I hear? Actually, there is a mildly funny line in this bit with Eric. I'll play that for you. Here it comes.
Well, we could have both, huh? How? How could we have both? You ever been to the supermarket? The cider's nowhere near the eggnog. You know why? They hate each other.
So we've got our first bit of conflict, okay? Because Topanga likes things her way. So then she sees the tree and she sees this aluminium thing, or as I'd call it, aluminium. And she's like, oh, we should have a real tree. So they end up driving all the way to Vermont to get her a tree. And I looked online. It says it's a 7-hour drive, just one way. And that's not what he says on it. He says something like we drove 3 hours. But that's fine. It's not actually. I'll come to that later. Anyway, then they get back. And then Topanga says, oh, what time on Christmas Eve do you open your presents? And he's like, well, we don't. We open them on Christmas Day. More conflict. You see, so far that's 3 things. So then Eric takes Corey aside and says, look, mate, Topanga's taken over your life. He says this.
Yeah, well, Captain, this isn't about the presents, okay? This is about the power struggle between men and women since the creation of man over 300 years ago.
So then Mr. Feeny comes over. Remember Mr. Feeny? For those of you that haven't watched Boy Meets World, the deal is this. He lives next door to his headmaster, and that's Mr. Feeny. Or principal, I guess you guys might say. Another one for Do You Hear What I Hear? So, yeah, Mr. Feeny comes in. You know Mr. Feeny? He did the voice of Kit in Knight Rider. Yeah. And he also played Dustin Hoffman's dad in The Graduate. And he's still alive. He's 90-odd. Good for you, William Daniels. Or as I call him, Billy Daniels. I don't, actually. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, so he comes in and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to read you a Christmas carol. And Topanga is like, oh, I'll tell you what we could do. We could all act out all the parts in it. And Mr. Feeny says, no, I'm reading it to you. But she's decided that's what she wants to do. Yeah, then it cuts to Sean. If you've watched the show, you'd know that Sean is Corey's best friend. And he's got an apartment with his half-brother, I believe it's his half-brother, Jack. Now, Jack and him have been estranged, but they live together now, and Jack's like a lot richer, and the deal is that they've got nothing in common, and they're trying to find some common ground on how they're going to spend Christmas. And then it cuts back to Corey, so that's sort of established what's going on there, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and Topanga's like knocking on his door, and he's like, oh, come on in. And she's like, no, I just wanted to chat. And he's like, oh, okay. She's like, you know, I just wanted to check that you're okay with, you know, her wanting to do things a bit differently. And he's like, yeah, that's fine, I guess. And she's like, oh, great, I'm going back to sleep. And now he can't sleep. So he goes downstairs, and his dad's downstairs doing like a little model plane thing. And his dad's like, ah, yeah, this is what happens. Yeah, you're going to get woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning by your wife, and you're not going to be able to get back to sleep. So that's why I started doing these model planes. And then he gives Corey his own model plane. He said, I've saved one of these for each of my sons. Didn't really find that funny, but you know. Oh, and at this point, right, Corey says she's been here less than 8 hours. And I'm like, hang on a minute, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. That means she got to, what, at 7 o'clock? And you, what, drove to Vermont to get that tree? Did that actually happen? Did they really drive to Vermont? Probably didn't drive all the way to Vermont, did they? I don't know why. Someone said they went to Vermont, though. Why are they talking about Vermont? If they didn't go to Vermont. If they did go to Vermont, they wouldn't have had time. That's what I'm trying to say. I said I'd come back to this. Anyway, then it's the next morning, right? And it's Christmas Eve, and Topanga has made tree-shaped pancakes. And he's like, oh, cool, we can have some soup. Ah, that's a good point, thinking about it. Because when they went to Vermont, Topanga's like, oh, because we're going to Vermont, we could get some syrup. Anyway, he's like, oh, cool, I can have some syrup on these pancakes. And she says, oh, no, we have powdered sugar on these because it's snow. And she starts dropping ice and sugar on them. I call it ice and sugar. You might call it powdered sugar. Call it what you bloody want. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And then she says, have a glass of orange juice. And he has a sip of it. He's like, what's this? And she says, I added a bit of grapefruit juice to it. And he gets all upset about that as well. Seems like he's not having a happy time of it. And this is the interesting thing, right? I used to love... They used to call it breakfast juice. I'd go to Sainsbury's, not Tesco's, which is what I'm always talking about. Sainsbury's, they used to do a carton of breakfast juice, but you can't get it anymore. But breakfast juice was orange juice. I think it had 10% grapefruit juice in it. I love the stuff. You can't get it anymore. Corey's whinging because Topanga made him some. Sort yourself out, Corey. I digress. So then Topanga starts going on about them going out carol singing, and Corey's saying, yeah, but I can't sing. And she's going, you don't have to sing. He's like, well, yeah, you do, because it's caroling. So anyone can sing. And he's like, I don't sing. I'm not singing. Oh, I'm going out. And that's what happens. So he goes round to Sean's house. And Sean and Jack are there still, trying to find some common ground. And he's like whinging about Topanga. And then Topanga turns up. And she actually apologises and says, you know, I'm sorry that I tried to change everything, you know, I'll leave you to think about it and I'll see you when you get back. And Sean's like, right, you're going back? And he's like, no, I'm going to sit here and be a moody old git, which isn't his exact words, but pretty much that's what he's doing, because I'm not lying to you kids, he's punching well above his weight. It turns out that Jack and Sean both love ice skating, so they say, let's go ice skating. And those two go off ice skating. That's good. That's been resolved. Now they've found some common ground, they're going to have a wonderful Christmas. Corey decides to stay there, lay on the couch and watch A Christmas Carol. That's what he does, right? But then he falls asleep. And then who should turn up but Mr. Feeney? And he calls himself the Ghost of Christmas Future. So, sorry boys and girls, you're not getting Ghost of Christmas Past, you're not getting Ghost of Christmas Present, you're not even going to get the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, but you are going to get the Ghost of Christmas Future. And Feeney shows him the future. And this is very interesting. And when I say very interesting, it's not that interesting. He sees himself, right, and he lives with Eric now. Eric is played by Eric still. I'll forget the guy's name. And... he takes off his hat and he's completely bald, right? So we know it's in the future because he's lost his hair. And then Corey turns up, and Corey is played by someone completely different, and he's just a very overweight man, and he seems to be quite simple as well. And Feeney says, well, after you split up with Topanga, all you'd ever eat was Christmas tree-shaped pancakes with powdered sugar on them. And there you've got Eric feeding them to the grown-up Corey, who's this big guy, and wiping his face because he's getting powdered sugar on his face. That's Corey in the future. Somehow he's got incredibly overweight, and also he doesn't seem to be able to talk properly, and he seems very simple now. Then we see Topanga in the future, right? She looks exactly the same. Guess who she married? Jack. Yeah, Sean's half-brother. Yeah, they seem very happy couple. And not only that, but she's had 3 kids. So here's my question to you. How come Eric is played by the same guy, looks exactly the same? Topanga is played by herself, looks exactly the same. They haven't aged her up or anything. Jack looks exactly the same, haven't aged him up. The 3 kids, the oldest one's probably about bare minimum, of 9 years in the future. Point being, how come they got someone different to play Corey? Because he's put on weight. Why didn't they just put him in a fat suit, like they used to do with Monica on Friends? I don't know, but that's what they chose to do. So anyway, like I said, she's there in the future, 3 lovely kids with Jack, and it's Christmas Eve, and they're opening their presents, and he's like, ah, they're opening their presents on Christmas Eve. And Mr. Feeney's like, yeah, but look, and there, in the corner of the room, is a big aluminium tree. It's like, see, she could compromise. Why can't you compromise, Corey? Huh? Sort yourself out. So he's there saying, I'm really sorry, Topanga. I'm so sorry, Topanga. Oh, I'm sorry. And she's like, kisses Jack and wishes him a Merry Christmas, and then it cuts to and Corey's outside the window again, which didn't seem like it was well done. I don't know if it was meant to be. They were going for like he's inside and now he's on the outside, but it just seemed like a weird transition. And then it cuts back to Corey's house. We're back in the present now. That was it. That was the whole Christmas Carol bit. And Topanga is really sad, but then she hears singing outside. Remember, Corey said he didn't sing. Well, he's singing like this.
First Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay.
Yeah, and he comes in and he says, you know, I love you, we can do it your way or my way, we can do whatever. And he gives her the promise ring on Christmas Eve. See, gave his present on Christmas Eve. And she says, I've got a present for you. And she's got a promise ring for him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And then the very end scene, Mr. Feeney comes in and he's reading a Christmas carol to everyone and everyone falls asleep. The end. And that was it. And it was some ink, I suppose. You know, I've talked, you've listened, I hope you've listened, or you've had it playing in the background, or maybe you skipped this bit and I'm talking to myself. Merry Christmas, everyone. A couple of things I want to say. I read the reviews and a couple of people were sort of saying that Topanga originally was like a real hippie chick and her parents were like really out there, so this was a bit weird that her parents were, well, not that they'd gone away for a cruise, but she was talking about all their traditions and they seemed pretty regular traditions that other people would celebrate. Yeah, so that was interesting. Interesting couple of facts, right, about Topanga's parents. You know, was it last episode or the one before that or the one before that? I know two episodes on the bounce so I talked about Monkey's Christmas songs. But her dad was... three different actors played her dad. Two I'd never heard of. First one to play him, you ready? Peter Tork out of the Monkees. That's right. Yeah, he played her dad. And also, her mum was played by two different actresses, right? One of them, Marcia Cross, yeah, the redhead out of Desperate Housewives, and also Annette O'Toole. Yeah, Annette O'Toole. You're thinking, who's Annette O'Toole? And I'm telling you, Annette O'Toole played Lana Lang in Superman 3, and she also played Superman's mum in Smallville. So, there you go. What does that tell us? Nothing. None of those actors, Peter Tork, Annette O'Toole, Marcia Cross, none of them were in this episode. Just thought it was worth mentioning. One other thing I want to mention, and this has got nothing to do with this episode. Well, it has got something to do with it, right? Sean, do you know what the actor's real name is? Right, you ready? Ryder Strong. Isn't that a name? Ryder Strong. That's like a character's name, isn't it? In like a Western. But no, that's the guy's name, Ryder Strong. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. And then, you know, they brought out Girl Meets World, didn't they, a few years ago. Never watched any of that, but Topanga was still in it. She's nice. Right, that was it. If you want to watch it. So, it's a bit tricky, actually. I watched it on YouTube the first time, right? And I don't know if this is some way that they get around the copyright or something, but it's like it's a smaller version of the screen, so you're missing, like, the outside of the screen. I don't know how they've done it, but you know, you're not getting the whole picture. And so I watched it all through. It's sort of fine, you know, you can see what's going on. Then I thought, well, why don't I try it on Daily Motion? Watched it on Daily Motion, it was exactly the same, but for some reason they'd actually flipped it, like a mirror image of it. So you're watching a mirror image of it. And I sort of went back to YouTube, watched it on there again. So if you want to check it out, there's a poor version of it on YouTube. If you don't want to check it out, I don't blame you, really. Ain't that good. Now it's time for this. Hey, here it is, boys and girls, the highlight of the episode. Are you ready for the joke? Because I'm going to tell it if you're ready or not. What do you call Frosty the Snowman in the summer? A puddle. Do you know, I've got a feeling I've told that joke before. Not from my toilet roll, though, because I've been checking my Christmas joke toilet roll and it's not started repeating itself yet. So if I have told that joke before, I'm really, really sorry. Do you know how sorry I am? This sorry. And my fingers are touching. That's how sorry I am. Because I ain't sorry. Let's move on. So I'm doing the research, right, and I'm looking at interesting Christmas traditions around the world, and I found this one in the Czech Republic that I'm going to talk about later. But as I was researching, I found some really interesting other stuff that they do in the Czech Republic. Now, in the Czech Republic, the main celebration of Christmas is on Christmas Eve, and a lot of European countries do seem to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve rather than Christmas Day. Explain that to me. You can't. Anyway, the one thing I found really interesting was their Christmas dinner customs. So, like I said, their big meal is actually on Christmas Eve, the wrong day. That's part of it. That's crazy. But they've got loads of different rules and customs associated with their dinner. Are you ready? I'm going to start listing them, okay? This is what it says on this website. Then it's a Czech Republic website. No lights should be lit in the house before the first star comes out. After it does, dinner is served. That's fine, I suppose, you know, but it gets quite dark in your house if you ain't got a lot of windows, you know, so you're not going to be reading. Are you allowed the TV on? Because a bit of light coming from that, isn't it? Hey, you allowed a torch? I don't know. A torch is a light, so probably not. Anyway, the table should be set for an even number of guests. An odd number brings bad luck or death. I love that. Well, that sort of is bad luck, but that's really bad luck. Yeah, so you've got to have an even number of guests. And then it says, an extra plate can be used to even out the number of guests. And it also says, an extra plate should also be prepared in case an unexpected guest or person in need comes by the house at dinner time. Look, hang on a minute, so what, if I've got an even number of guests, and then I've got to have an extra plate, have I got to have like two extra plates, or can I put it like on the side, and if someone else turns up, it's like, right, here you go, that's yours, quick, get another plate that's empty, so we got an even number, because I don't want the death bit, or the bad luck. What bad luck is it? Is it like that I just stubbed my toe, or is it something like really bad, like I break my arm, or my cat gets run over? I don't want my cat to get run over. Can we put out an extra plate, please? Yeah. Next one. The legs of the table can be tied with a rope to protect the house from thieves and burglars in the coming year. How is it? I suppose that's going to stop your table from getting nicked, isn't it, if you tie it down? What, I do not get that at all. Right, anyway, next one. No one should sit with their back to the door. That's fine, I suppose. You know, it depends which way your table's set, isn't it? Christmas dinner should consist of 9 courses, including soup, bread with honey, carp, potato salad, fruit, dried, fresh or canned, dessert, apple strudel or vanocca, which is, I probably said that wrong, which is a type of Christmas bread, and other foods. Well, I should bloody hope it is some other foods, because you didn't list 9 courses, did ya? 9 blooming courses. Who's doing that cooking? I tell you what, I reckon some bloke, it was a man definitely, that invented these rules, because I bet the wife's like, I'm not cooking 9 courses. And the man's like, oh, you are, or it's bad luck. What's the bad luck? Well, you could have a husband who's a git. That's you're going to be our bad luck. She's already got that bad luck, hasn't she? Some husband telling her to cook up 9 courses. I don't want to get into it. Now I've forgotten what I was doing. Right, next one. Oh, hold on. No alcohol should be served on Christmas Eve. Well, you blew it, didn't you? You've absolutely blown it. What's the point in that? Just imagine that. Remember the bit earlier it said, lay out an extra plate if like an unexpected guest or person in need turns up. They turn up. It's like, oh, yeah, we've saved a plate for you. Yeah, cool, right. Where's the beer? Oh, no, we don't serve beer. What? I'm leaving. But that leaves us with an odd number. It's okay, take the plate out of the way. Goodness me. No alcohol on Christmas. What is this? No one, next, this is the next rule. No one should ever get up from the Christmas table before dinner is finished. Doing so brings bad luck and death. So yeah, more bad luck. Until dinner is finished. Well, like, I finished mine. Or has everyone got to finish theirs? What if you've got like a really slow eater? What if you've got someone that's just doing it to annoy you and you really need the toilet? And it's like the bad luck is you pee your pants because you didn't get up when you needed to. That's bad luck. Not death though, is it? So, you know, probably best if you do sit down and wee your pants. Right, where was I? Okay, next one. Everyone should finish their dinner and leave nothing on the plate. Yeah, I stand by that one. I won't lie to you, kids. Quite often when I go out with the family, I'll clear my plate and then I know I've still got at least another good half meal left from the girls, because my girls never finish their food. And if they do, I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest. Yeah. You know, when I first started seeing Carla, my wife, that's her name, Carla. Have I discussed that? You know her name now. Right, when I first started seeing her, we used to go out for dinner, right, and it was like I'd get 2 meals. It's like 1.5 meals. I'd always have. And then the longer I started seeing her, the more she kept eating. She's still got a slim figure. Don't worry about that. But now she'll finish her plate. And it's like we go out for dinner. It's like, well, none for me. Eat your own food. I have eaten my own food. That's why I want your food. That's got nothing to do with Christmas in the Czech Republic. Right, next one. The first person to leave the table after dinner will be the first one to die in the coming year. Oh, dear me. That is bad luck, isn't it? Oh, my life. Hang on. Oh, no, then it says, that is why everyone should get up from the table at the same time. Oh, my days. Right. Three. Imagine that. Right. It's someone you really don't like in your family, right? You're like, right. Okay, everyone ready? Yeah. Three, two, one. And everyone stays sat down, apart from the one no one likes. He stands up. It's like, oh, you bastards. I'm going to die this year. And everyone's like, yay, Merry Christmas. Could that be classed as murder, do you think? Do you think you could go to court for that? Because if someone does end up dead, it's like, oh, maybe we did do that. Anyway, let's not do that. Any leftovers from dinner? Well, you've already established you're not allowed any. Oh, hang on, it says crumbs, fish bones, etc. Okay, fish bones, I'll get that, yeah. Bones, you're allowed to leave, okay, apparently. If you don't finish your plate, is that the one where you die? What was it? Let me have a look again. Actually, it doesn't say you're going to die if you don't eat all your food anyway. Right, anyway, right. Any leftovers from dinner, crumbs or fish bones, etc., should be buried around the trees to ensure they will bear lots of fruit. So there you go. Makes good fertilizer. Makes sense. Next one. All household animals should be fed after dinner so that no one goes hungry on Christmas Eve. So there you go. Yeah. Well, do you know what? I'm concerned that this episode's going to run too long because there's more stuff I want to talk about. There's loads of good stuff on Christmas customs in the Czech Republic. So yeah, maybe next episode I'll talk some more about that. Oh, do you know what? I'm going to have to tell you right, so this is what I was reading about when I got onto all the other stuff that goes on in the Czech Republic. And it's, I'll read it out to you. On Christmas Eve, single women find out if they will marry in the following year by performing an unusual ritual involving the throwing of shoes. A woman will stand with her back to her front door. With her back to the front door, is she indoors or outdoors? One place I read it, it did seem to say that it was outdoors. So just if you're planning on doing this, I think you've got to stand outside, but I could be wrong. But one place did seem to say it was outside. She stands with her back to the front door and then she throws one of her shoes over her shoulder. If the shoe lands with the heel towards the door, then it is believed she will remain single. If the shoe lands with the front of the shoe pointing towards the door, then it is thought that she will move out of her parents' house and make wedding preparations. That makes it sound like she's inside the house then, doesn't it? Because you throw in your shoe, and if the shoe looks like it's walking out, toes pointing to go out, then that suggests you're going to be leaving the house and you're getting married. To be honest, imagine that's outside. You're throwing shoes all over. You hit some bloke, you knock him out. While he's knocked out, you can marry him. It's like, and he wakes up. It's like, oh yeah, we just got married. He's like, oh, okay, then fine. Or not. I don't imagine that's going to be his reaction. But if you're going to be throwing shoes, you've got to watch out for passers-by. That is a fact. Yeah, I tell you what's not a fact, though, that this means anything. Throwing your shoes willy-nilly. To be honest, I imagine if a woman's desperate to get married, she'll just keep throwing her shoe and like, nope, this heel towards the door, right, give it back, I'll do it again, throw again, nope, heel, give me the blooming shoe, I'll do it again. Fourth time's a charm, fifth time's a charm. Eventually, the toe's going to be pointed at the door, she's getting married, everyone wins, Merry Christmas. There you go, interesting tradition. I wonder if anyone does that still. You could do it. Tell me how you get on. Now let's do this. Bob's back, boys and girls. Now he's going to talk about Christmas every day. Off you go, Bob.
Why, thanks, Jack. You know how we all have a habit that drives our spouse or significant other crazy? Mine is I love to stumble through antique stores. And I am not talking about the ones with heavy furniture and oil paintings. I mean the places that call themselves antique stores, but they are really just an indoor flea market, or what Jack would call a car boot sale. Every small town, especially the rural ones, have a place like this. So when we are out bike riding or exploring the city, I like to stop at these stores. The stuff for sale is often old and dusty and not in very good shape.
You wonder how these places stay in business, but I think they are so fun. They will usually have classic toys and old Christmas decorations. And I search for little things, like a Christmas badge or a postcard or even an old advertisement. I love that stuff. And nothing gives you a holiday lift like finding a Christmas gem when the season is still months away. So go out and treat yourself today. The search can be as much fun as the treasure. So if you have a secret quest, you map it out for Jack, he'll dig it up for me, and we'll share the booty with you next episode.
Actually, what's funny about that is when he said about the car boot sale thing, because a car boot sale is it's lots of different cars, it's lots of people, it's not just one car selling stuff out of their boots. It's like the one I go to, there's hundreds of cars there selling the crap out of their boots. And do you know what, quite often I'll pick up Christmas stuff in there. Tell you what I picked up last year, I picked up a model of Hermie the Elf. Yeah, it was like a bobblehead thing. And to be honest, it was in really bad condition and I ended up throwing it out. But I spent like £5 on it, which is a lot for something that sat in a drawer for a year and a half, and then I threw it away. And don't sit there going, you threw it away, I would have had that and I would have posted it to you, but I would have felt guilty because it was a bit broken, because I think he's holding some pliers in it and the pliers were broken off and it really was sunbleached. You could buy one for about a tenner anyway. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that you can pick up great Christmas stuff all year round at car boot sales or flea markets. Quite often, like when it's sort of getting to October, because the car boot sale, it doesn't run in the winter, it only runs till October. So quite often, it's like, right, September, October, right, let's start looking for our Christmas stuff, girls. Yeah. Anyway, great one, Bob. Fantastic work. I know I say this every episode, and I'm saying it this episode. If you haven't checked out Bob's podcast, check it out. It's called Festive Foreign Film Fans, and they talk about festive foreign films. And the latest episode, they talked about Anna and the Apocalypse, which is really interesting. It's like a comedy musical zombie film set in Scotland. And it's all right. I watched it, maybe 2 years ago. I didn't love it. And I know a lot of people really like it. I didn't love it, but they talk about it on Bob's show, and I think you should check it out. Yeah, have a listen. Festive Foreign Film Fans. Now it's time for this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Hey, yes. Save the best till last, boys and girls. It's the quiz. Got some bad news if you're overseas. You might find a couple of these questions tricky. And you might not, but you probably will. Right, question. No, you know the deal. Do you want me to tell you the deal? I'm going to tell you the deal, even though you know the deal. The deal is this. I ask you 10 questions. You write down 10 answers, or you think of 10 answers, or you don't even think of 10 answers. Something happens. I definitely ask the questions. I don't know what you're doing. I cannot see you, but whatever you're doing, you're doing that while I ask the 10 questions. Then after I've asked the 10 questions, I tell you the 10 answers. That's it. That's how it works. 10 questions, 10 answers. That's the quiz. Are you ready? I don't care. I'm doing it. Question 1. Which BBC TV sitcom was the most watched Christmas Day programme in 1986, 1989, 1990, 1992, 1993, 1996 and 2001? Yeah, that's what it says in the question, right? In the book. But that show was also the most watched in 2002 and 2003. I don't know why they missed those out, but yeah, there you go. What's the answer? Complete the title of the 2004 film starring Ben Affleck and Christina Applegate, Surviving Blank. What is the blank? Okay, very straightforward. Question number 3. At the height of 1960s Doctor Who mania, the Go-Go's released a novelty single in 1964 called I'm Gonna Spend My Christmas With A What? What were they gonna spend their Christmas with? It's Doctor Who related, okay? For the record, that is not the Go-Go's featuring Belinda Carlisle. This is another band called the Go-Go's who, from what I can gather, were one-hit wonders with that song. Okay. Question number... Oh, goodness me. Have I lost count already? We're number 4, I guess. Right. Eat it. You better get this one, because I talked about this on episode 5 or 6 or something, I don't know. Plus, most other Christmas podcasts at some point have talked about it. Eating at which fast food restaurant on Christmas Eve each year is becoming an increasingly popular tradition called Kurisumasu Niwa Kentucky in Japan, with many branches recording 5 to 10 times more business than normal days. I probably read that badly, but you get the idea. Which fast food restaurant does everyone in Japan go to on Christmas Eve? It's Christmas Eve, not Christmas Day again. I wonder if that's true. Anyway, question number 5. Who had the 1973 Christmas number one single with the song Merry Christmas Everybody? Now, I'm going to sing a brief snippet for you. So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody's having fun. Look to the future now, it's only just begun. There you go, that was me doing the version, the real one doesn't sound much like that. But now you know the song. Right, question number something. Josh Groban's Oscar-nominated song, Believe, features in the end credits of which 2004 animated film? Okay, very straightforward. Question number whatever. What do Bolivians traditionally take with them to Christmas Eve Mass? Okay, I'm going to give you 4 options. Do they take a rooster, a donkey, a pig, or a rabbit? Which one? Next one. In the French version of the song The 12 Days of Christmas, this is something I didn't know, that there's a French version of The 12 Days of Christmas. They're singing about different stuff, right? Okay, because they sing Six Chiens Courant. That was good, wasn't it? You hear that? That sounded, really sounded like I was French then. Yeah, Six Chiens Courant are given on the 6th day, right? Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, it's 6 something, and they're running, but what are they? What's running? Okay, right. Oh, we're up to number 9 now. In what European language is Nadolig Lahwen, the Christmas greeting? Okay, I'm not going to say it again because you heard me the first time. And the last question is, who was crowned King of England in Westminster Abbey on Christmas Day 1066? Do you know what? I've got a feeling I've read that question in the old quiz. Do you remember the quiz I used to do last year that I bought at the car boot sale? Yeah, I reckon I might have done that question. So if you get it wrong, that's on you. All right? Right. Here come your 10 answers. Answer numero 1. Numero means number, by the way. Which BBC TV sitcom was the most watched Christmas Day programme all those years? It was Only Fools and Horses. And if you're overseas, you might be thinking, Only Fools and Horses? Never heard of it, mate. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm pretty sure Australia and New Zealand, they're fans of it, because I remember watching one of the episodes when I was out there, and it was blinding. Yeah, so that's Only Fools and Horses. It's got to be the UK's most popular sitcom that we've ever produced. And it did. Yeah, it ran for a lot of years, like early 80s till, yeah, early 2000s. Yeah. Anyway, next one. Complete the title of the 2004 film starring Ben Affleck and Christina Applegate, Surviving Blank. What was the blank? Well, bearing in mind this is a Christmas quiz, the answer is Christmas. Surviving Christmas. At the height of 1960s Doctor Who mania, the Go-Go's, not the one with Belinda Carlisle, released a novelty single in 1964 called I'm Gonna Spend My Christmas With a Dalek. They're going to spend Christmas with a Dalek. There you go. Do you want to hear a bit of it? I'll play a bit of it. I'll do it. I'll play a bit. You ready? Here it comes.
I'm going to spend my Christmas with a Dalek and hug him underneath the mistletoe. And if he's very nice, I'll feed him sugar spice and hang a Christmas stocking from his big left toe.
Now, you tell me why that is not a Christmas classic. Huh? Huh? Exactly. Because it's awful. Okay, next question was the one about what fast food they're eating in Japan on Christmas. Of course, that was KFC. So I'm sure you all got that one if you're avid listeners to the show. Well done. Right, who had the 1973 Christmas number one single with the song So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody. That was Slade, and I tell you what, that song is huge every year in this country. You'll hear it everywhere, you lucky person. Next one, Josh Groban's Oscar-nominated song Believe features in the end credits of which 2004 animated film? The Polar Express. And do you know what? I took the girls to see The Polar Express last Christmas at the cinema because they sort of had a couple of Christmas films in the week leading up to Christmas. And so, yeah, we went to see that and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And we've got it on DVD. When it first came out, wasn't too sure, but I know people talk about the old Uncanny Valley thing. I thought it was pretty decent. Yeah, good film. Right, next one. What do Bolivians traditionally take with them to Christmas Eve Mass? Do they take a rooster, a donkey, a pig, or a rabbit? Well, here's the deal, right? I'm there thinking, I reckon it's a rooster. I reckon it's a rooster. And at the last second, before I checked the answers, I said, oh, I'm going to go with donkey. And I made an ass of myself, boys and girls, because the answer is a rooster. So I got that one wrong. Yeah. And next one. In the French version of the song The 12 Days of Christmas, Six Chiens Courant. See the way I'm doing that? I'm saying it as if it's in the song. Six geese are laying. Six chiens courant. They're given on the sixth day. Six running what? What's running? I'll tell you what's running. Dogs. Six dogs it is. Yeah. What do you prefer? Six geese are laying or six dogs running? I don't know. It depends what kind of dog they are. If they're like running at you and they've got, you know, they're... Yeah, no. I'm mildly concerned. I'll stick with the geese are laying. Thank you. Okay. Number nine. In what European language is Nadolig Llawen the Christmas greeting? That is Welsh. And the final question, who was crowned King of England in Westminster Abbey on Christmas Day 1066? Well, that would be... Do you know what? This is what it says in the answer, right? Because I only know him as William the Conqueror, right? But they've put, right, just says William, and then in brackets, William the Conqueror, a.k.a. William the Bastard. I'm not making that up. And I have never heard him called William the Bastard. And I had to look it up, and I thought, because maybe it's just the author of my Christmas quiz book, like, putting his own opinions in there. But no, he was actually illegitimate, and I didn't bother reading much about it, but they said it sort of shaped his career as a young man. Shaped his career, being a bastard. How does that shape your career? Oh, God. Oh, dear. It shaped his career. Brilliant. Yeah, he decided to be a traffic warden. What a bastard. Right, that was your 10 questions. That was your 10 answers. I got 9 because of that bloody rooster one. Otherwise, I would have got 10. Should have stuck with my guns. Who takes a donkey to church? It's easy to carry a rooster, isn't it? Well, it's easy to lead a donkey, I suppose, isn't it? Anyway, hope you enjoyed that. Now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation is Desert Island Discs. Now, Desert Island Discs, I could go into it. I'm not going to. It's not Christmas related. But it's a radio show that's been running in the UK since, I believe, the late 50s. Yeah, it has, since the late 50s. And all it is they chat to a celebrity or famous person about their life. And they imagine they're stranded on a desert island. And they're allowed to take 8 songs with them and 1 book and 1 luxury item. And that's it. And they just chat to the presenter. Now, it's been presented by a number of people through the years. But you go on Apple Podcasts and they've got episodes running back to the 50s. Now, a lot of them have gone missing. So there's not that many from the 50s and 60s. But you get sort of into the 70s and 80s, 90s and like more modern day. And there's like hundreds and hundreds of episodes. Literally, there are thousands of episodes on there for you to listen to. So that's what I've been doing. What I do is I go on, right, because they're in batches of 5 years, I think. Is that right? Yeah, 5 years. So it's like you've got, say, 1960 to 1965. And I scroll through, have a look, see any people that I'm interested in. One of the earliest ones I listened to was actually Dudley Moore, because he was really famous in the early 60s. And, yeah, so they're about, like, 30 minutes long. Originally, they would have been, like, an hour, but that's with the 8 songs. But they can't play the songs because of copyright reasons. So you just get them talking about their life. And it's really interesting, and I really enjoy it. And I've been listening to loads of episodes. And I could list some of the famous people on there for you, but I can't be bothered.
But they have a Louis Armstrong. There you go, I listed one for you there. It was really interesting, really cool. Kenny Everett. Remember I did that Kenny Everett's Christmas Carol? Yeah, him. I could list loads. There was loads. Not just from the UK, from all over the world. And it's just really interesting. So I'd like to say there's loads I'm not interested in, like loads of politicians and bollocks like that. I'm not going to bother listening to them. I'm not interested. But there was a lot of people on there. So yeah, and you've got thousands of episodes to choose from. So just scroll through, download the ones you want. Or don't. Do what you want. Goodness me. I'm just offering a suggestion of a podcast you might enjoy. Like I said, goes back like 60 years, some of these episodes. So, you know, it's just very interesting. Just a great show. And you learn a lot about John Cleese. Yeah, listen to John Cleese one. Actually, a few of the members of Monty Python have been on. Why am I listing like the odd random one? I should have got a list of like the top 10 ones that I've listened to. But I've still got loads more to listen to. And I'm very excited about listening to them. Anyway, that's this episode's recommendation. So if you go on Apple Podcasts, type in Desert Island Discs, it will come up in batches of 5 years, and you can have a scroll through, see if there's anything you want to listen to. Happy? Good. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've had a good time. Yeah, tell all your friends about us. Like me on Facebook or do something. If you want to get in touch, do it. That'd be nice. Actually, I got a lovely email from a gentleman called Dr. Gerald Case Blanchard, and it was just saying, I like your podcast. That's all it was. And do you know what? I really like that. Made me feel happy. I thought, thank you very much for that, Dr. Gerald. Really appreciate it. You don't have to say a lot. It's just nice to hear from you at Christmas or any time of year, like it is now. Right, I think that's it. If you want to get in touch, oh yeah, like Dr. Gerald did, drop me an email, that's totalchristmas@gmail.com, or you can check out the website, which I haven't updated for nearly 3 years, and that's totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. Merry, happy Christmas.
Would you please tell her that you're not really Santa Claus? That there actually is no such person?
Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, Mrs. Walker, but not only is there such a person, but here I am to prove it.